Now it's time to welcome Naomi. So I'd like to hand over to her. Thank you.
Hello. So I'm Naomi. First, I'd like to tell you a story about a boy called Jake. This is me and Jake. Jake is now an adult and I actually haven't been able to see him for quite a while because of coronavirus, but Jake is brilliant. He has so much joy. He loves life. I used to be a respite foster carer for him, and I took him along to New Wine, which is a Christian conference, and to church a few times, and he taught me so much about worshiping God. He would just worship without caring what anyone thought about him, and taught me so much about just being able to be free. It reminded me of when David danced before God in the Bible. But there's a particular time with Jake that I want to tell you about where and I should say Jake has Down syndrome. He also has verbal dyspraxia, so he understands everything that's going on, but he finds it really difficult to communicate, so he can't use language very clearly. And I was looking after him, and he'd been using our downstairs toilet, which was a toilet which had a really old door, and it had panes of glass in it. One pane was actually missing, and it had a curtain behind it, and it didn't have a proper lock. It had a key in the lock, and he'd been taking quite a while. So I went and said, "Jake, is everything okay?" And he shouted back to me, "Stuck." And I was like, "Oh, okay, that's not great." But I was thinking, it's okay, probably just can't use the key properly. And then he said to me, "Key." And I was like, "Great, okay, well, Jake, all you need to do, turn the key." And then he said to me, "Radiator." I thought, oh dear. And what Jake had done is he'd locked himself into the toilet, taken the key out of the lock, and posted it down the side of the radiator. So it was well and truly stuck. And as a respite foster carer, that's not really the moment that you hope for. The child I'm looking after is just locked himself in the bathroom and is completely stuck. But good not to panic in these situations. So my brother Luke was around, and I said, "Luke, I really need your help." We looked everywhere for a spare key for this toilet and couldn't find it anywhere. So thankfully, Jake was having a wonderful time and was finding the whole thing very funny. But after a while of looking, we decided, okay, he's quite small. What we could do instead is lift him out of the hole where there was a pane of glass missing in this toilet. So we posted a bucket through and told him to stand on the bucket. And then me and Luke lifted him out of this hole. And I don't actually know how we ever got out of that It got into the bathroom. Well, I'm sure we found the spare key eventually, but I don't actually remember that. But that story just reminded me of this passage where the people and the friends dug through the roof and lowered their friend through. As a community, they surrounded him and they enabled him to encounter Jesus. And this morning we're looking at living God's love in our community. What does that look like for us as Christians? What does that look like for you guys at St. James's? And I'd love us to explore together this morning how we can practically choose to love others around us as we boldly step in to all God's calling us to do, both as individuals and as community. As my mum said, my name's Naomi. I'm a children's occupational therapist by background, so I look at all the things children do every day, things like washing, dressing, eating, playing, writing. I see if there's anything they find a bit difficult and how I can help make it easier. As we watched this earlier, I founded Growing Hope, the charity, in 2017, and I work part-time as CEO and part-time as a lead therapist for King's Cross and Growing Hope King's Cross, which is where I live in London. And I'm the eldest of four children, and your brilliant vicar is my mum. So we're thinking about God's love this morning and how we live out God's love and share that in our community. But before we share God's love with people around us, I think one thing that we really need to be able to remember is how much God loves us. It says in 1 John 4 verse 19, we love because he first loved us. And I don't know about you, you may or may not be like me, but a trap I sometimes fall into is thinking that I'm only as loved as how well I'm loving others or how much I'm loving other people. But actually, that's not what God says. We are able to love because God first loves us. I have a God, you have a God who loves us with an infinite love, who doesn't hold back, who sent his only son to die for us and then rise again so that we can have relationship with him. God says over you, you are my son, you are my daughter. With you, I am well pleased. His love for us is great and unfailing. And I don't know how you're feeling this morning. Maybe you are standing firm in that love. You know how much God loves you. You know how precious you are to him. Maybe you know that in your head, but you don't quite know that in your heart. Maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about and what that looks like. Maybe you're having a tough day or a tough time at the moment, but wherever you're at, however you're feeling, we have a God who does love us with this amazing love, who holds us in his Father embrace and walks with us in the ups and downs that we're experiencing. He invites us to partner with him to build his kingdom. And one analogy that I love, that I think really is a good picture of this, is with a holy bucket. I've actually got one here. We're a bit like the pot with a hole in the bottom, and what we actually need is God's love to continually fill us. Hopefully it's going to work. There we go. So that it overflows rather than just coming out the bottom. Because we're leaky. We can't just be filled with God's love once. We can't just be like, okay, been there, done that. Actually, we need God to constantly fill us with his presence, with his Holy Spirit, to show us his love so that we can then choose to love the people around us. And when we look at this passage, we see Jesus demonstrate a love that knows no borders. For this man who was paralyzed, he would have been on completely the edges of society. He was someone who was pushed right to the edge, and he had incredible friends, which is amazing that he had friends who even cared about him because of how pushed to the edge of society he is. But they choose to love him, and then Jesus chooses to love him. When Jesus speaks to him in this passage, he says to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And in some translations it says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Jesus is making it really clear to everyone in the room in that moment that he isn't seeing this man as someone who's on the edges. He isn't seeing this man as someone who's outcast. He's calling him son. He's calling him a child of God. He's calling him friend and saying, you can have relationship with God. You can be forgiven. You can turn your life around, turn yourself back to God and accept this love that I have for you. And we read that, didn't we, earlier in that other passage in Galatians, which said there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And God's love knows no borders. He loves each and every one of us, whoever we are, and each of the people in our community. So when we grasp that experience of knowing that we're loved, of knowing that God's love is for all people, whoever they are in our community, we can then choose to love other people. And choosing to love isn't always easy. It often takes a bit of work, and often to live God's love in our community, we have to choose to love and choose to do things which enable us to share God's love. When we read the passage about the friends who lowered this man through the roof, it's really helpful to know the context of what was going on. It's easy to forget when we're reading it in, you know, today. So culturally, it was really ingrained at the time. If you had a disability, as I just said, you would have been outcast. You would have been rejected and excluded from accessing the community. It was very much an honour and shame culture. By being friends with someone who had a disability, you were automatically would have been seen as less than because of your connection with them. By publicly going and climbing on this roof, digging through this roof, which would have been clay and wood and probably stone or brick, totally wrecking it, like making a big hole, you were risking everything for your friend. And yet we know that the friends had faith, like it says in verse 5. When they heard about Jesus, they knew he could heal their friend, and they get more than they bargained for when Jesus not only forgives their not only heals their friend, but he also forgives their friend and demonstrates that he wants relationship with everyone. It says in verse 12 that the people were amazed at exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this." They were amazed that Jesus wasn't just healing their this man, but they were amazed that he was showing that his love knows no borders. They were amazed that he had the power to heal, and they could see all that he was doing. And as at Growing Hope, I really love that we get to combine and providing free therapy for children and young people who really need it and are often on waiting lists for a really long time, for over a year, or they get seen and they don't get the intervention that they need, with the hope that we have in Jesus. I see lots of families through our clinics who, and the vast majority of them aren't Christians. They don't know, they haven't experienced God's love. They don't know what it's like. And one of the things that we do is we offer to pray for families who come along. And, you know, even though the majority aren't Christians, I'd say probably around 80% of families who come through the door say yes to prayer. And I think that's amazing to be able to live out love practically through providing free healthcare, but also to be able to share the hope that Jesus brings in people's lives. And I love that God has enabled so many opportunities for people across King's Cross and Broccoli local communities to hear how much God loves them. And one family that I originally worked with was Adiola and her family. This is her wonderful family here: Gabriel, Naomi, Ezekiel, and Olivia. And Ezekiel has autism. And when they first came to our clinic, which is probably a couple of years ago now, Adiola couldn't believe what we did in offering support for families to come along to church and to be able to come to church on a Sunday. She hadn't been able to, and her family hadn't been able to go to church for 3 years because of Ezekiel's autism. And she's now firmly a part of our church community. She's invited others along who also have children with autism. And she's experienced community, belonging. She knows, she's seen, she's heard, and she's loved. And it's just been such a privilege to be able to do that through Growing Hope. And she's just one of many families that we've been able to work with Growing Hope, and it's impossible to share all the stories. But it's amazing how the opportunity to have this free therapy, to have a practical need met, has also enabled them to know the love that God has for them because of the reasons that we're doing it. Many of them have been able to connect with church and learn more about God's love. And I've got, there are two further single mums at the moment who are starting to come along to church, who are still exploring on their faith journey, but interested to engage in community because of that love they've experienced. And one verse that I often come back to when in general is this in Joshua 1 verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When I first set up Growing Hope, I felt like it was something that God called me to do, and I knew, I was felt pretty certain that it was what I was supposed to be doing. But at the point that I, you know, talked to my vicar Pete Hughes about it, at the point I started to invite trustees to join me, at the point I gave up my job, at the point we first started seeing children, at the point we started the next clinic, they were all points where I had to remind myself of the things that we've been thinking about this morning, to remind myself that I was loved and I was choosing to love others by practically doing healthcare and sharing God's love because I felt called to do that, that I could be bold and courageous like God had commands Joshua in this passage, because God was with me whatever I was doing. And people often say to me that it was super brave to set up Growing Hope, and maybe that's true because there are lots of things that could have potentially gone wrong, but I didn't really feel very brave at the time, but I did feel convinced that God was calling me to love others through setting it up. So that's what I did. I needed God to give me the boldness, and I've needed him to provide. And I'm here now 3 years into this journey, and I'm absolutely blown away by God's provision. We have a vision to see 20 clinics set up by 2030 in partnership with local churches. And we have a national charity and two local charities at the moment. We launched Growing Hope Broccoli in the middle of lockdown in 2020. And across 2020, we saw over 130 children, young people and families across our two clinics, despite the pandemic. And God has consistently provided the right people for the right roles, the finances that we've needed. And we've seen so many stories of his faithfulness with the families that we work with. And I'm so excited to hear more stories from Growing Hope High Wycombe and to see other clinics that we set up in partnership with other churches where we're having similar conversations elsewhere. On this journey where I haven't felt brave, God has enabled me to be brave, to know that I'm loved, to know that I have a call to love those around me, and that the church is well placed to meet that call in the local community. And I don't know what that call looks like for you as you step out and love your neighbour or love the people in your community. And as we come to a close, I'd love to pray for us that we can each stand firm in knowing we're loved like the man who was lowered through the roof, in knowing that we can choose to love like the man's friends, and knowing that we can be bold and courageous like Joshua as we step into loving our community. So let me just pray for us now. Let's just take a moment to reflect as we pray. Lord God, I just thank you that you are with us. I thank you that you love us. And I just pray for anyone this morning who doesn't know that love that you have for them, God. I pray that where we maybe feel marginalized or pushed to the edges, that you would show each and every person here how much you love them, how precious they are to you. And God, as we allow ourselves to be filled again, filled afresh with your love and your spirit this morning, I pray that you would show us how we can be filled to the point of overflowing, how we can choose to love others in our community around us, in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces, in our day-to-day lives. And God, where we are maybe tired or feeling not brave, I pray that you would be giving us boldness and courage, like you said to Joshua, that we wouldn't be afraid or discouraged, but we'd know that we can live out your love in our community in the way that you're calling us to. In your name, Jesus. Amen.